Catherine just threw a stone into the water. And I'd been thinking about the stone over the last few weeks prior to. So obviously, God just wants to bring a little bit more out on stones. And I don't know how far we'll get with this, but these stones are not for throwing, by the way. So we're okay. Well, I think I'm okay. But I want to speak to you about a stone that God has given to you. Amen. Say this after me. God has given me a stone. Now I need to learn to. Now I need to learn what to do with it. Okay. So what's God given you? So what do you need to do? Learn what to do with it. Okay. So hopefully today we're going to give some more insight. It's a while since I ministered on this. So some of it will be fresh, some of it will be old meat to chew. But sometimes we didn't catch it the first time around. So John Wesley said it needs to be preached 15 times before people actually remember it. And one time he was ministering the gospel in a village somewhere. And one of the elders came to him after the sixth day and said, "When are you going to preach a different message?" He says, "When you get born again." Amen. And sometimes we have to press the message through until it hits the spot. Yeah. Until it bursts into life, until it brings life with us. So turn to the first book in the Bible, please. Genesis. There are many stones that are spoken of in the Bible. Many stones. Some are precious stones. Some are not. But they're all used, and there are meanings to all these stones. So we're going to just look and take off with this stone that God has given to us as individuals. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 11. We'll start from verse 10. "Now a river flowed out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it divided and became four rivers. And the name of the first is Pison. It flows around the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. The bdellium and the onyx stone are there." I typed in onto the internet bdellium, and up popped 8,000 some references. And I went, "Oh, you know, I haven't got time to read 8,000 references, unless I get 3 months sabbatical, and then maybe I could." Quiet, dear. Now then, this river that went around the land of Havilah, where there is gold, this river speaks of truth. And this river encompasses this land where it is gold, where there is much gold. Now, the ancient scholars believe that this land is actually Ethiopia. Ethiopia. Wow. And some of this information came from a document that was written in 1660 something. Interesting. And verse 12 says, "And the gold of the land is good, and bdellium and the onyx stone are there." Now, bdellium, what does it stand for? It stands for the truth of love and the truth of faith. That's what a bdellium stone stands for. It stands for the truth of love and the truth of faith. So it's a stone that carries truth, it's a stone that carries love, and it's a stone that carries faith. Okay? You might wonder, well, why are you talking about stones? They tried to stone Jesus. They actually stoned Peter. They stoned most of the prophets. But they stoned them with just the stones of the earth that meant nothing. And that speaks of rebellion. But you see, the precious stones that God has and that God brings out in His Word speak of the glory of God. Have greater meaning than what we understand. If we just for a moment turn and go to, I think it's Ezekiel chapter 28, I believe. Yeah, chapter 28. Verse 11. God speaking to the prophet. The prophet being the seer. God's seer. And God, he's seeing things that God is showing him. And he's beginning to speak them out and share them with the people. Sometimes he sees into the future, sometimes he sees into the things of the past to make things clearer. And again the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, take up a lament over the king of Tyre and say to him, Thus saith the Lord God, You had a seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. And you were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, the ruby, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the lapislazuli, and the topaz, and the emerald, the gold, the workmanship of your settings, and the sockets was in you. On the day that you were created, they were prepared, and you were anointed cherub who covers. And I placed you there, and you were on the holy mountain of God, and you walked in the midst of the stones of fire, and you were blameless in all your ways, from the day that you were created, until unrighteousness was found in you by the abundance of your trade. And you were internally filled with violence, and you sinned. And therefore I have cast you as profane from the mountain of God, and have destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. This really, many believe, is speaking of the downfall and the casting out of Satan. The covering cherub, the cherub who led worship, the cherub who was covered in precious gems, covered in beauty, covered in the radiance. Now, you and I think of precious gems as small stones, don't we? You know, that we're missing. Oh, I've got a diamond, you know, I'm going to show you the ring. And they vary in size. Now, they've started to manufacture these imitation diamonds, haven't they? And they're much bigger. If you get the light on them right, they sparkle and what have you. You think, oh, that's a big rock, isn't it? These things are minuscule to what God created in the beginning. Wow. Consider the Garden of Eden. See, God is a God of abundance. God never made anything short. God never made anything in short supply. God never allowed anybody to suffer shortages. God was always there and always provided. When He created the garden, there must have been huge rocks. And I don't mean rocks that you used to put in your garden because it looks nice to make a rockery. I'm thinking of a real rockery with diamonds a boulder of diamonds and a boulder of emeralds and rubies and sapphires. And this is what Adam lived in. And he walked through this garden and there's this beautiful sapphire. And the light strikes it. And from that light, as he looks at it, it shines out and there's this beautiful blue light that reflects. And the emerald, and there are green lights coming out. Adam had his own light show. Never mind your discos. You know, they came up with this idea later. God had all this in the beginning, in the garden. It was there. God created the rainbow and every colour and facet, and God created it. Why did he create it? To say, I'll never do it again, but I will remember my promises to you always. And my provision shall be seen. And so this garden is full of all these jewels. Today we would like, oh, we'd oh an hour over them. Adam would go and sit on them. Good place to sit and be surrounded in this light. We say, how do you know that's true? Let's go to Revelation. Heaven and earth are a copy. Okay, or should be. They were till it got messed up. Where do I need to be? Revelation. I want to be around the throne. Praise the Lord. Where do you want to be? Good. Now I need to find it in the Bible. Chapter 4. And this is John. And it says, after these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven, and a voice which I heard like the sound of a trumpet speaking with me said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after these things. Verse 3 says, And he who was sitting was like a jasper stone, and a sardis in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne, like an emerald in appearance. Now, You've got to switch off Hollywood. You've got to switch off your TVs. And you've got to go back to radio. Yeah. Why do I say that? Because you have to learn to use that God-given ability called imagination. You see, when you put a video on a DVD in, you don't need an imagination. It's all there before you, you know. You can tell after a while you don't use your imagination, because suddenly you find yourself doing this. And your eyes start to go down. And just, I'm supposed to be watching this, you know. So, you're not using your imagination. Regretfully or thankfully, I can go back to those days when we didn't have a TV. And we used to listen to the radio, and there was more programs on the radio than there was on TV. And you used your imagination. And as children, you had a vivid imagination. Ooh. And so when words portray a picture, and you have to learn to... You have to learn that as you read the Word of God, you have to let the Word of God begin to paint the picture spiritually. The problem today is, and I know this to be true, not many people read. And not many people read books, and not many people are reading the Bibles. And do you know what's happening? There are no pictures being painted spiritually in their lives. And there's hardly anything on TV or DVD. You need to let the Spirit of God get hold of that word and begin to paint that picture. So shall we start again? Are you ready? Are you sitting comfortably? Well, shall we begin? Steady your minds. Don't let anything else get in the way. And just begin to focus on these words. And begin to let your mind become artistic. If necessary, yes, close your eyes. Don't let something else interfere with it. And just let's just say now, Lord Jesus, we just come before you and we come into your presence again. And Lord Jesus, we just ask that as we read your word by your Holy Spirit, you will paint me a picture of what you want me to see. Amen. Glory to God. And he, verse 3 of chapter 4 of Revelation, who was sitting, who's he? Who's he? Is it God? Okay. Who was sitting like a jasper stone and a sardis in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne, like an emerald in appearance. And around the throne were 24 elders. And upon the thrones I saw... around the throne were 24 thrones. So you got that picture? There are 24 thrones around this throne. And upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white garments and golden crowns on their heads. And from the throne proceeded flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder. We've heard a lot of thunder this last few weeks, seen a lot of lightning. It's nothing like what we could see in the presence of God. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was, as it were, a sea of glass, like crystal. And in the center and around the throne, 4 living creatures, full of eyes, in front and behind. This is a picture of God's throne room. This is a picture of the presence and the majesty of God. Verse 8 says, and the 4 living creatures, each of them having 6 wings and full of eyes around and within, and day and night they do not cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and is, and who is to come. And when the living creatures gave glory and honor and thanks to him who was sitting on the throne, to him who lives for ever and ever, the 24 elders will fall down before him who sits on the throne and will worship him who lives forever and ever. And they will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, worthy art thou, O Lord, and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou didst create all things, and because of thee, of thy will, they exist and were created. That's the beginning of heaven. That's the majesty of heaven. There is this throne that emanates life and light and beauty and power and majesty. And life is, green is the symbol of life. And it sits on this glassy sea. Like crystal, and if you don't look at it carefully, you think the throne's just suspended in midair. But it's actually sat on a glassy sea. The scary thing is, you know, that we once went to Toronto, and they have this tower. And you go in, when you get to the top of the tower, there's this viewing place, platform. Isn't it, Catherine? I've forgotten you've been. And in front of you, for about 6 foot or more, is a floor of glass. And you look down all the way, I don't know how many floors down, but it's 70, 80 odd floors down at least. It's a long way down. And people look at it and go, I'm not standing on there. Now they reckon this thing will stand the weight of 6 elephants per square inch. You know, I don't know how much an elephant weighs. I don't intend trying to lift one either. And yet, you see people standing on it, and you stand there and you are stood on what you think is terra firma, yeah? And you go, yeah, it's solid. And the children walk across it, and you're still going. Some people didn't tread on it, did they? Well, I took courage and went, whoa! I mean, and there appears to be nothing beneath you. Just maybe an inch thick plate glass. You stood on a crystal sea. Appears as if you're floating. But it is still a challenge. And it will be a challenge to enter heaven. And to step on that crystal sea. And walk to the throne room. Walking into his presence. There will not be just an awesome presence of the throne itself, but that which surrounds the throne will give you a, whoa, this is very special. This is a very precious place to be. And so we need to realize it is important. There are great importances about the Word of God. There are great importances. So we, about the Word and the stones, and we need to let our minds begin to be moved upon by the Holy Spirit to show us the things He needs to show us. Because unless you allow the Spirit to begin to reveal these things to you, you'll see nothing. And we need to let our spirits, we need to let our imaginations be. There's nothing wrong with your imagination. When God gets hold of your imagination, that's when that creative force begins to come into, starts to work. Yeah. In this book that we have here, the Bible, is everything written about God in this book? No. Not everything's written about what Jesus did. He can't contain all the works he did. Let me say something else. Hold on to your seats. Don't get upset with me. Don't choke on it like it's a piece of dry bread. But seriously, give this some serious thought, because this is something we've been told and it's not quite 100% true. We read the end of Revelation and it says, you know, nobody shall add to this. Not to the Revelation, you don't add to the Revelation. But is this book finished written?
No.
No. It's not. Because when God folds up all this world and begins to introduce us to the places where He's going to allow us to rule and reign, what happens next? What happens next? What happens next? Where will you be? Where will God send you? I'll do this, I'll be courageous. You can get upset with me later if you want. The Word says that we are sons of God. What was Jesus? Son of God. And the Word says that when we're born again, we are created in whose image? God's image. Whose image is Jesus created in? So that means Jesus and you and I look alike.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That means that we're in the same family.
Yeah.
We're of the same family tree. We're a chip off the old block.
Oh,
I'm not saying that with disrespect. Just had a little bit of a thought there. I'm being a rogue today. That's okay for me. We're a chip off the old block. Just what's the old block made of? Read your Bible. He who was sitting on the throne, verse 3, was like a jasper stone and a sardis stone in appearance. Okay? I am really being naughty today, but that's, you know, I'm going to challenge you to think in another dimension. We're a chip off the old block. We're not just any rough stone. We're not just a piece of quarried limestone that they've used to build various buildings and build walls. We actually are a chip off some precious stone.
Amen.
The precious stone.
Amen.
God Himself. Now, I don't deny that God is Spirit. But Jesus was also substance, as well as spirit. I'm being a rogue, aren't I? But, you know. So we're a chip. I'm a chip off the old block. You know, you can look at families and say, just look at that chip off the old block. What do they mean? Just like their father, just like their mother. God must be good. He's good looking. Yeah. Highly intelligent. If intelligence is to be measured. And His Spirit. So you and I should begin to emanate like a jasper and a sardis stone. We should radiate the light of God. You know what it's like with ladies? They see a big rock. You're walking by the shop, you're going down the street, and they see a big rock in the window. You know, you're holding hands, next thing you know, you're back, look at this. And you fellas, you stand there and you go, very nice. Come on. I know when we went to New York, you know, absolutely. Some of the rings that these people by. The rocks that were in the windows. Astounding. The necklaces in diamonds. And you know the real. Shall I tell you why? Because they didn't have a price on them. You had to go in and ask. And I won't go in to ask. If you need, you know the old saying is, if you need to know the price, you can't afford it. And I knew that I was still on the right side of the window. I couldn't afford it. But yet, we are made from precious jewels. We are a chip off the old block. We're not getting very far, are we? We're a chip off the old block. We should be the light of truth, and the light of the truth of faith, and the truth of love should be flowing out of us. And so begin to imagine those things in your life. Begin to imagine that happening. Begin to see the kingdom of God. Begin to see heaven, the throne room of God. Read it when you get home. Sit and read it to yourself quietly. And let it begin to create a picture. Ask again the Spirit of God. Reveal this to me. Reveal the depth and the power of this truth. It's not just about... You see, man has put a value on these stones. He puts a value on diamonds. He puts a value on all these stones that are around. And says, oh, you know, this is worth so much. And yet, God... When he created and put them in the Garden of Eden, he said, oh, you know, just drop a diamond here, you know. You can sit on that any time you want. Just get a big emerald and... Now you say, well, you're joking. There has been emeralds of a fair size found. So, this is true. If God wants to create an emerald as big as as big as this room, God has got the ability. He's got the desire. He's got everything, and he can do that. And he can create a great big emerald. If he wants to create a diamond as big as this room, he's quite able to do it. All things came from God. All things belong to God. You know, come on, you see, the problem is we limit God by what we have seen and by what we have been told. Yeah. We've stopped letting our imagination do anything. And if you watch Hollywood, all you're going to get is guns and more guns and robberies and killings. But you never see the beauty that God wants to create. Well, yeah, that's right. We haven't got to there yet. You're jumping the gun, but that's all right. But as Joan says, new heaven and a new earth. He says the gates are made of one pearl. Now, have you seen a pearl? Can you imagine trying to get through that for a gate? You know, I mean, there ain't no chance. Even with my skinny bits, you know, you just can't get through one of them gates. But the word says, out of one pearl is a gate made. Now, hang on. And it says that we shall walk through. These are going to be some big pearls. That oyster is a big oyster. It's had some real grit and, you know, to get a pearl to this size, hasn't it? It's had some real irritation, is the word. If you want a pearl, you've got to get some irritation. If you want to be a pearl, you'll be irritable at times. God will cause an irritation to you till you become a pearl. Who wants to volunteer to be a pearl? I'll not be a pearl. Don't want any more irritation. So, can you see? You've got to let your mind... We will just jump into Revelation. Let's just have a quick... Can we find that chapter? Where it talks about 21:19. Let's have a look. Yeah, that's, I think that's where we need to be. 21:19. Yeah, let's have a look at that. We'll go all over the place. We'll have to come back to some of this later, but I'm trying to just kick your imaginations into gear. I'm trying to get rid of some old rubbish that holds you back from enjoying the fullness of the blessing of God. Who puts restrictions on your blessings? Me. Exactly. So I'm going to, tonight, today, probably one of the things I'm going to try and do is de-restrict you. They do that on motorcycles these days. They stop these young lads belting on until they've had a few years riding on. They de-restrict them. Put a restrictor on them. You know, on diesel engines, they put a restrictor so they don't over-rev. Or they used to do. But we're going to take them off. We're going to put them in sports mode. We're going to fit you with a turbo. And we're going to cover some ground. We're not going to be limited by what we've been told in the past. We're going to break new ground. Verse 19 of chapter 21. The foundation stones of the city wall were adorned with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation stone was jasper. Now come on. Get your minds, imagination working. We're building a wall around a city. First layer going in is jasper. Think of some big rocks. You know. I knew somebody was going to ask that question. I'm not 100% sure. I believe jasper is a yellow. You're whispering, I can't hear whispers. We're not sure. We'll have to check it out. Yeah, these walls are 1,500 mile high. So it's got to be a good foundation. It's going to be a big gate. Tell you, it's a big pearl. So, you see, this is part of your own work. What colour is jasper? Go and find out. When you find out, come back and tell me. I don't know if the message gives a colour. I don't know if the amplified gives a colour. No? No? Okay. So we've got to go and find out. So jasper. And the city was pure gold, like clear crystal. Do you remember when they started developing astronauts' helmets? They actually made their visors, and they laid over them gold that was so thin that you could see through it to filter out the harmful rays of the sun. And here God is creating a city out of pure gold that you can see through. Oh no, this is written before technology existed. You know, they didn't even have technical colleges. You know, now these technical colleges, they call them universities. They were advertising one on TV last night, Huddersfield University. I said, I went there. In them days it was called technical college, but I went there. So I've been to Huddersfield University, but before it was a university, you know. And obviously what you've got to say is that we who went there first have obviously built it up into being a university. There you go. What are you laughing at? Am's been, haven't you? Was it a university then? Oh, it had got to that stage, had it already. So, there you go. Verse 19. The foundation stones of the city wall were adorned with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation stone was jasper. The second, sapphire. What colour is sapphire?
Blue.
Beautiful. And there are different blues in sapphires. So can you just begin to imagine the colours, the pink and the green and the blues in these sapphires? Begin to
imagine, like when he said a rainbow
what is it? Yeah. So you've got to let your imagination go. Let your imagination go. The third. What's that? Chaldani. I haven't got a clue what that is. Some of these stones, you see, as far as we know, don't exist now. Is it agate in yours? All right. This is. I'm reading from the American Standard. What's the Amplified say? Agate. What colour is agate? A white. Okay, so, right. So, I think it's a white and sort of semi-clear as well. Just says white. Okay. So it's a whitish stone. So we've got a blue, we've got a white. The fourth is emerald. Greens. So we've got blue, white and green. The fifth, it's sardonic, a sardonic stone. What colour's that? Onyx. Onyx is a mixture at times, isn't it? Yeah, it can be a marble effect. So now you've got, so we've got blue, white. Yes, you can get black onyx. You can get white onyx as well, actually. So yeah, it's much of a. So, you know, this next layer is multicoloured in that. Wow. Where do we go from there? The sixth stone. Sardis. Sardis. What colour is that? No colour for that one. We have no colour. We'll have to make our own up. Oh, yeah, right. Reds and silver. Who knows? The seventh is chrysolite. Any idea? Amplified? No? Clear? If it's a crystal type, it could be semi-clear. It could have slightly different colours. So these are the imagination of the wall that God is building out of precious stones. Some of these stones we can't find today. We've exhausted the resources of them. And yet God has still got an abundance of them. Absolute abundance. The eighth stone is beryl. I don't know who she is. I don't know what colour beryl is. Sounds red to me. It does actually, yeah. The ninth stone is topaz. There is different shades, isn't there? Yeah. The tenth stone. Now we've got 10 stones in this wall so far going up. What's yours called? That's what I've got. Chrysophase. I don't know what that is. Anything in the Amplified? No, we don't know. You see, even God's bringing out there are new stones. They'll be beautiful. The 11th is jacinth. And the 12th is amethyst. You want to see an amethyst? It's topped with purple. The city walls are topped with purples. And there is different shades because we looked at them. And we picked the darker ones because a darker stone means quality in an amethyst. It means depth about it, you see. Well, yeah, I mean, that's another study on its own. What do the colours mean? And there will be biblical and spiritual meanings on these things. But what I'm trying to get, I'm trying to cover a broad spectrum. What I'm trying to get is that you begin to imagine this is God building a new city, building the next stage. This is where we get to. God is He's building all these things. And when he's finished, does it stop there? No. He doesn't just freeze dry it and say, that's it, I've done it, over. No. It is an ongoing lifestyle where there's no sin, there's no sickness, there's no disease, there's no death, there's no more tears. Wow. And I sort of picture, says if, what was it say? I think it's, if a child dies at 100, he's died very, you know, he's died young. He's only young. Not that there's going to be any death, because the word says there is no death. For a start, there are trees that are planted there for the healings of the nations. Everything's there. We've got back from, we've gone from the lost Eden, and God has created a new Eden, as He intended the earth to be. And God has done that. God's plans are already written out and they're being fulfilled. And as John says, and in verse 21, the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Not just one. Not just one gate, there's 12 gates. Three on each side. Each one of the gates was a single pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. Catherine, you're going to have to get used to walking on that bit that you can't see. And it is called faith. Hallelujah. The trouble is we think man built that, so I'm not going to try that. You know. Well, man didn't build this one. God built it. God built it. There won't be any holes in it. There won't be any flaws in it. Hallelujah. We'll stop there, otherwise we'll go on forever, won't we? I just need to get back to this stone. I've just got a note here. I just need to have a look at Ezekiel chapter 1. Verse 28. My dad gave me this one just a few minutes ago. As the appearance of the rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day, so was the I saw it, I fell on my face, and I heard a voice speaking, saying, then he said to me, Son of man, stand up on your feet, that I may speak with you. Wow. With you. God wants to speak with you. And he spoke to me, the Spirit entered me and set me on my feet. And I heard him speaking to me. We need to move into these places. Yeah. Verse 10. Then I looked, and behold, I was handed, a hand was extended to me, and lo, a scroll was in it. Then he spread it out before me. It was written on the front and back, and written on it were the lamentations and mournings and woe. Thank God that He has finished all of that. When we get to the end of the book, there is no more tears. There is no more suffering. Hallelujah. We have entered into a new dimension. We have entered into a new kingdom of God. We have entered into a new time with our God. And so we can thank Him for. We have so much to look forward to. Now this white stone, been going a long time today. This white stone, when manna came down on the earth, they looked at it and they said, it was white, it was flaky, what is it? And it reminded them also of bdellium that is spoken about in Genesis. I'll quickly say this because we're going to have to do some of this later. The high priest had stones, and the stone on one on each shoulder, and on each stone were written six of the tribes on one and six of the tribes of other. So the 12 tribes were carried on his shoulder. He wore a breastplate, and in that breastplate were 12 stones representing the tribes, and they were all different colours. God uses stones as symbols and reasons. They are purposeful. Their colours are there and they are purposeful. God writes on the stone. And you know, when you and I got saved, God said, "Here, I've got a stone for you." And he gave you a stone. And on that stone, he writes your name. Now let me say this to you. That stone he gives to you, he doesn't write Daniel. He doesn't write Andrew. He doesn't write Ken. Because when you read what the word says about that stone, it says God gives to those who are the heirs of salvation, he gives them a stone. And he writes a name. He writes your name. Not the name that you were given when you were born, the name that God gave you when you were born again.
Amen.
And he writes the name on that stone that only you and he know. Whoa. It's a bit like a password. It's a bit like a password to a credit with a credit card. And when you've got that stone, it allows you entrance into his presence. He knows your name. He sees that stone. And that stone allows you entrance into his presence. It allows you entrance into his blessings. If you don't use the stone, if you don't carry the stone, if God has not yet given you the stone because you've not made Jesus Lord of your life, you can't come into his presence in that way. You need that stone. It's part of the seal. It's part of God's blessing upon our lives, and that we carry that stone. And only God knows your name. The devil can't call your name. The devil can't accuse you because he doesn't know your name.
Amen.
You were born again.
Yeah.
You were given a new name.
Yeah.
You were given a new nature.
Yeah.
You were born of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
And the devil does not know your name.
Yeah.
And God gave it to you. Now if you give the devil your stone, it's your problem. But God gave it to you, that you might use that to call in the blessings, to do the work of the Father, to do the work of the kingdom, so that you might glorify God. And this is a precious stone. It is a precious stone. And what is so precious is the fact that it has your name on it. It doesn't have somebody else's name. What I found out amazing today to me was, how many people are there that are born again, that have been born again over the centuries? How many can you think will be born again? And guess what? Guess what? Every one of them's got a different name. Whoa! Every one of them has a different name. Now today, for instance, I could say, everybody bow your heads, and when I call this name, will this person stand up? And I can say, Ken. If I say Ken, two people will get up. Isn't that right? But then again, if I go on and say, Ken Foster, only one person stands up. Yeah? God has given you an individual name. You know what it's like, you know? You get the travellers coming round, what's his surname, Smith? Elijah Smith. And he's got a brother. No, he's got a and his relative's called Elijah Smith as well. And he's an uncle called Elijah Smith. Isn't it like that at times? Boswell's, you know. We know a Boswell's. And there's a few. John Boswell. Why do you call you John? Well, because my granddad was called John Boswell, you see. And it goes on, you see. But God says, I've given you a different name. And nobody's got that name. You are the one. It is peculiar to you. Only you have got that name. It's like your credit card and your PIN number. Nobody's got your numbers. I've all on to remember mine. Sometimes I haven't got my numbers neither, to be truthful. I've got one credit card, and the other week I suddenly thought, oh, the one I always use was full. We were pressing the limits. I like to press the limits. And so I thought, I better use this other one, otherwise we'll get some charges. So I popped it in the machine, and I forgot they want your PIN number. And she went, put your PIN number in, and I started to put in the other PIN number in. And I went, oh, that's not it. I said, I don't even know the PIN number on this card. She said, don't worry, I'll let you sign it. I thought, thank you, Jesus. And she let me off. And I still don't know the PIN number of that card. I'll have to do, that's what I thought. But the thing is, I've got to know the other one to change it. And I'm like, oh, forget it, you know, for the time being. But you see, God has made it so that you and I have got individual names. So when He calls out our name, we're not mistaken to say, did God call me? Or did He call you? You know that He called you because He's given you a stone with your name on it. And we need to use this stone. It's like a password. It's entrance into high security places. It's an entrance into the Holy of Holies. You know, you can begin to work with this thing. It's better than an Irish password. It's better than numbers. This is something that God has given to you, and nobody else can use it. Praise God. So God has given you a white stone for you and you alone to use, and praise the Lord. Why have notes? I have no idea. I hope you've been encouraged. I hope your imagination's been quickened, and I hope your faith has been challenged. And I hope that you're going to go away and start looking at the book again and saying, God, use my imagination and show me more of your presence and show me more of your glory. Amen.